You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-R-C Miserable. M-A-R-C Miserable Marvelous. M-A-Y May. Music.
Welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I used to like spring.
And Erica.
I love spring.
And you are tuning in to our very first episode of Mark's Miserable Marvelous May 3, Trey Miserable. You know, every May we go through the superhero movies released by New World Pictures, and Mark does not like superhero movies at all. Mark, how are you feeling?
I feel like every year I forget that we do this. I'm being completely honest. It may be a fight or flight function of my psyche, literally block out that we do this somewhere around July. And then before you know it, boop, we're right back at this
fucking
horrible month.
Oh,
that's right. But we also have a returning guest who is joining us for this episode. You remember him from episode 33, Star Crystal, writer, performer, Peter Fleway. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be back here on the New World Podcast. I just wanted to say again, it's a pleasure to be here on the New World Podcast. You are both all wonderful people. I guarantee that we are all going to have a great time tonight on the New World Pictures Podcast.
That is a Peter Fleway guarantee.
A guarantee. Because I am Cajun, which means I just emphasize certain words.
All right? Oh, do I have something for that moment? That's great. I love that. All right. And the movie that we are all gathered here to discuss is 1988's TV movie spectacular, The Incredible Hulk Returns.
When David Banner met Maggie Shaw, it was the love they'd both been looking for. But she didn't know his secret. She didn't know that his danger would become her danger. Their life together was threatened. And David Banner had been pushed too far.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
He's mean and green, and after 6 years, the Hulk will face his greatest challenge ever. Because this time, he's fighting for love. Bill Bigby and Lou Ferrigno are the Incredible Hulk. If the Incredible Hulk returns...
That's right. 1988's The Incredible Hulk Returns, brought to you by a tiny pot of coffee first thing in the morning. Are you able to wake up on your own and take your dog for a leisurely walk down the beach? Good for you. But if you're like the rest of us, you need a tiny pot of coffee first thing in the morning. Nothing prepares you for a day at the laboratory using private funds to solve your own personal issues like a tiny pot of coffee first thing in the morning. Order one today, preferably before tomorrow morning.
Also, could that ad read have been any faster? I mean, he was ripping through that one.
They
that
gave him a minute's worth of copy for a 30-second spot. They were like, best of luck, buddy.
I thought I was listening to that on 25 times speed. I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, it's great too that that's TV spot also had a moment of the actual show, because there's so much about the fact that this is a 6-year break between the end of the TV show and then this first movie that they made, that they included that clip. Because of course that clip of him saying "you wouldn't like me when I get angry" is not in the movie at all. It's just from the TV show as a regular part of the TV show intro. And that's why they brought back Nicholas Correa, who is the writer and director. He was a longtime writer on the Incredible Hulk TV series. He'd also directed a few episodes as well. In between the end of the series and the movie, Correa wrote episodes of Street Hawk, wrote and directed episodes of Airwolf.
Wow.
And then from here would go on to write for shows like Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Walker Texas Ranger, and Booker.
What is you were gonna, Street Hawk I, about?
I thought you were going to say he only stuck with like earthly things plus animal, like ocean porpoise and
I mean,
and
if
fog
only.
Bear.
Fog bear.
Oh, Street Hawk has nothing to do with hawks.
Street Hawk is about a guy riding a motorcycle. By the way, a guy who's played by Rex Smith, who would be in the trial of The Incredible Hulk.
Wow.
The movie that would follow this, he would play Matt Murdock Daredevil. But that would, and he's also in a movie called Sooner or Later, released by New World Video. But that's for another time.
Wow.
We are talking about Incredible Hulk Returns.
I really thought that would be about birds. Was it just me? Nope. Did you think it would be about birds?
Mm-hmm. You thought it would be about street hawks?
Yeah.
Just
yeah, I,
loose
those
hawks.
Those are called pigeons and crows.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought it was just going to be about like the bird trade at, I don't know, on the streets. I guess it being about a motorcycle riding hunky guy is probably more what people want to watch.
Yeah. Not to say there isn't a very select crowd that is into the street bird selling world.
Tell us more. Caca.
Well, I do remember watching Airwolf and liking it. If it was about flying wolves, I would have maybe even liked it more. So
thank you.
Just saying,
there's me
a
too.
Reboot waiting to happen here.
Speaking of the TV show, this brings back, of course, our main players. We got Bill Bixby once more as David Bruce Banner. In between the end of the show and this movie, Bixby had been appearing in various TV shows, but mostly he was directing TV shows, including 8 episodes of Sledgehammer for New World Television.
I feel like that's not about tools.
No.
After my misguided assessment of Street Hawk, I'm going to just guess Sledgehammer is about a strong guy.
One day we'll get to talk about it because it was made for New World Television. He did not, however, direct this movie, unlike the next 2 Incredible Hulk movies to follow. As he explained to Marilyn Beck in 1988, he said, "About 10 days before we started, I could see directing, along with producing, could get in the way of my performing my own character. I hadn't done the character in 8 years, and I felt I should really be spending my time figuring out how David Banner," the Hulk's alter ego, Marilyn's, just in case we were all lost, she included that, "has matured." That said, Bixby also told Comic Scene about playing Banner again. He said, quote, "I'm not playing him much different," end quote. So, okay.
He's dishing Hulk out to however people want it. He's the same. He's different. He's matured. He's the same.
However, it could be that he was simply, as he said, he admitted that he was, quote, exhausted, end quote, after shooting the feature-length pilot for CBS's Some Kind of Woman with Morgan Fairchild, which did not go to series. They only made the pilot and it never went to series, but he was apparently exhausted from it.
Is that one about women or what do we think?
Some Kind of One.
Okay. I'll have to take your word on that. It's not about a cop whose name is Rick Woman who just patrols the streets not looking for nighttime hawks.
Now that's a series I would watch.
According to Letterboxd, it's about a woman who sold birds. Anyhow.
What? I'm that kind of woman.
This, of course, also stars actor Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk. Ferrigno was excited to get back to playing the big green guy, as he revealed.
Not tired, like.
Like old Bixby.
Old Bixby, exhausted over here. Lou's just ready to go.
He's ready, as he revealed in the book, "You Wouldn't Like Me When I'm Angry, a Hulk Companion," by Patrick Jankiewicz. He said, I was ecstatic about New World doing the Incredible Hulk reunion movie because Bill was back, Jack Colvin was there as McGee, and Nick Corea, one of the best Hulk writers, wrote and directed it. I remember me, Bill, and Nick had a meeting in 1987 to set it up, and I was so excited, I said to myself, we are finally bringing the Hulk back. When we realized we were going to do it, I trained hard to get myself in the best shape of my life for the Hulk. Bill said we were going to shoot in LA, and because of New World producing, we weren't going to be under network pressure, and I thought it was one of the best Hulks that I have ever done.
Aww. I think it was a real missed opportunity to not call it, you're not going to like me when I'm friendly, a Hulk companion guide.
I think it was a missed opportunity to successfully have network pressure. Feel like this movie could use some network pressure on it.
Definitely could have.
You know, some notes aren't bad.
The network would never have allowed for Lou Ferrigno's body to be a dark green while his face is sort of a mustard green. They would have never let that slide.
Two-tone. A little two-tone.
Yeah.
Too much powder, Hulk.
A little too much powdering, a little too much readjusting to the face, but not the chest and arms. In between this and the original series.
And feet? I don't know. Was he wearing feet. Those like he was Mary wearing... Janes?
I hope so.
Those green Mary Janes.
I don't think so, but in my mind now, he's always wearing these Mary Janes. Always. In between this and the original series, Ferrigno had starred in two Hercules movies and also Seven Magnificent Gladiators, which were all produced for Canon Films. But he was admitted he had was working on his craft, as he told the Star Ledger in May of 1988. He said, I took time out the last few years to become a trained actor. I studied and went into theater. I did 5 stage plays.
What 5? I need to know what 5.
I don't know. He did not say which ones, but he did 5 stage plays.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I just think it would. I love that he did 5 stage plays and was like, I'm ready to play the Hulk, wherein I will not ever have to talk.
Please tell me one of those was 7 Brides for 7 Brothers.
I hope so. I hope he did a musical in there.
Please tell me the other one was True West. We're waiting for Godot.
He plays Austin. He plays the wimpy brother. Yeah. He's like the one that's like the writer. And he's like
going always, against type. Yep.
He's still like huge and muscly. Here's where you can watch The Incredible Hulk Returns. It is on Plex, Pluto, and YouTube with ads. Or you can buy yourself this DVD, which not only has The Incredible Hulk Returns, but also The Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Worth it.
All on one DVD.
Yeah, 2-for-1. That's a 2-for-1 right
chock
there.
Chock full of extras.
Like none. Like not even trailers. Like nothing.
No, like you
just
get
the movies themselves.
You do get trailers, Ryan. You get Elvira at the beginning that you have to
perfect.
Watch.
Good, good call.
And 18 again at the beginning.
New World. They're like, well, you're here. You've bought something and you wanted to see The Incredible Hulk. See all the other wonders that we have to offer in 1988.
Exactly.
But now it's time to talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is The Incredible
Who is
typing right now? Because my God.
Who is aggressively typing?
My Lord, that is some loud ass typing.
Someone is in trouble. That sounded like an SOS distress call.
Is somebody during this episode also hacking into the Pentagon mainframe?
I apologize. Oh. I was trying to get into my Letterboxd account and I had forgotten my password.
Oh, no.
I had set it up on the last time I was here.
Yeah,
and I wanted
right.
to be prepared.
Yeah.
Wanted to be prepared for the show. And I've made 3 attempts. I'm now locked out.
You have what? Logged bad manners, I think, only in that account?
I have only logged bad manners. But Now that I'm locked out of Letterboxd, I have looked up famous quote lines from The Incredible Hulk Returns, so I'm prepared for this program. So, guys, I apologize for my typing.
No problem. Let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is The Incredible Hulk Returns about?
It's about a relentless pursuit for a dream. You know, and you look at the most successful people in the world, and they have a relentless passion and a focus that drives them every day. You know, like the rule is, once you do something and you spend 10,000 hours working on something, then you truly become an expert. And this movie exemplifies that. For example, and you know, you don't even have to look at this movie. You look at like Ray Kroc, who started working on McDonald's when he was in his 50s. He had a vision and he was relentless about it. And in this movie, you have a writer who's been pursuing a story for years. He hasn't sold a fucking story in over 10 years, but that is not going to stop him. He is still going to get that story no matter what.
He's not in the trenches. He is in a trench.
He's one in singular a trench.
He
is in a singular trench. Does that stop him from leasing a convertible Cutlass Sierra? No, it doesn't, because he knows that that is going to get him one step closer to greatness. And a lot of people say that the biggest deals are made on the golf course, and they're wrong. The biggest deals are made playing racquetball.
So
stay focused and learn racquetball. That is what this movie
is about.
Get
good at racquetball. It's very true. Very true. Peter, what is this movie about?
Oof, boy. I guess The Incredible Hulk Returns is a story of the relationships in our lives and how the people around us always make us better. I mean, I think of the Bruce Banner's girlfriend at the top. You know, there are two people that can enjoy one small pot of coffee and use four cups. And that's a and that's a symbol, I think, of like how, you know, when you really love someone, they make you grow as a person so that you need two cups of coffee, even though there's just two of you. So a total of four cups. And that, you know, the friends that you, you know, briefly met when you were pretending to be someone else as a teacher in Harvard, that student you had is going to be your friend. He's going to be a doctor who's also a computer whiz, who's also kind of a fuck up. And man, when you're in trouble, you want a friend like that.
Yeah.
So I guess it's, I guess it's about like how hard it is to make close acquaintances and friends when you're getting older in life.
Yeah. That's very true. I like
Erica,
that.
Erica, what is The Incredible Hulk Returns about?
I could see that. I guess I could see that. But really, it's just about the length that some men will go to not move in with you. Okay? Like, the absolute lengths. I am a scientist who owns a beachfront property.
And they work together. They both work at the same place.
I could drive you to work because we both work at the same place. Right. I've already packed you lunch. I've packed it in four lunch boxes because that's how we like things. Why use one lunch box when we can use four?
Where's the apple? It's in the other lunch box.
Yeah, it's in one. It's in lunch box 204. I can cook. I can make coffee. I have a dog. And yet, you won't move in.
Yep.
So, I mean, what is it going to take? What is it going to take?
I agree, because I found this movie to be the difficulties that occur in a May-December romance. To December to May, May to December, 2 years worth of a romance. It's the difficulties that happen in that. It's you know, eventually one of you is going to get kidnapped. And once you do, it's over.
Yeah.
One of them's going to walk. Yeah. You got to walk. At that point, baby, I'm sorry. No more.
Ironically, it's not the one that gets kidnapped that walks away. It's the other one that's I don't need... I feel like you're risking my life because you got kidnapped.
The darkest of ironies. The darkest of ironies. Here's the Letterboxd synopsis. This is...
If my wife got kidnapped, I'd be out of the house immediately.
I got you back from your captors, but I am pre-packed. I am ready
and
to
I
go.
Wouldn't even take a car. I would just walk away. Nope. Walk away with a single backpack.
If I was kidnapped,
I put everything in a pod. That's why I could just take this backpack.
I think if I was kidnapped, it would take Ryan a long time to not think I was just asleep somewhere. He'd be like, she's probably just asleep somewhere.
That's
so
very true. That is very
true. Fine. I can finish this commentary. She's fine. She'll be fine. She's resourceful. She'll find her way back.
This is the Letterboxd synopsis. We are on Letterboxd. Give us a follow and also give Peter a follow. Because I can't get on it. I got locked out. But at some point, he's going to be able to log back in. So you're going to want to follow Peter as well, because who knows what he'll do once he's allowed to log back into his account. Here's the synopsis. Dr. David Banner meets a former student who has a magical hammer that summons Thor, a Norse god. Well, is he a god? I'm not sure that they cover that in this. They don't particularly say that. He's a Norse person.
Guy. According to Germanic paganism, he is a god.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm saying in this movie, they don't approach...
Save that for the semantic cast, please. That is semantic cast that commentary. We're not trying to split those kind of hairs over here.
In this movie, I don't think they approach the fact that he's a god. That's what I'm saying. I know he's a god in mythology. I don't think in this movie they don't seem to go there.
That they don't cover with regards
so
to
true.
Thor.
So true. And we'll get there in a second. But anyway, a Norse god who is prevented from entering Valhalla.
So they're going to describe a Norse god, but not describe what Valhalla is? Imagine reading this and be like, what in the hell is Valhalla?
And why would a god not be admitted into Valhalla? Why would they even need to get into Valhalla?
This feels like a job for network pressure.
Studio notes, where are you? Okay, when the two superheroes stop feuding long enough to breathe.
Uh-oh, Letterboxd. Oh, no.
Boy.
Oh, Letterboxd.
Boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
They are a team unmatched by any of their enemies. Their enemies are just dudes. And quite frankly, they often do match them, which is kind of pathetic.
Right.
they shouldn't match them at all.
But they're the kind of dudes, though, that when they run out of bullets in their gun, they just throw the gun at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of dudes that they're fighting. So it should be, to your point, a lot close. It should not be that close of a match.
When they load their guns, they're like, should I bring extra? They're like, no, I don't need extra bullets. What I got in this gun is all I'm going to need, baby.
All I need.
I feel like it would really hurt to get hit by a gun, though.
It would still, boy. Yeah. Yeah, you
know? It would be annoying, but it's not the same as being hit by a bullet. I mean, that's from what I understand. Can't say that that's actually happened.
Okay. Again, Marks,
save it for the metacast.
Man, for a guy who hates Marvelous May, sure know a lot about taking bullet versus taking a gun to the neck. That could hurt. It's really soft there.
When this movie opens, interestingly, it does open, like I said, with the... It does open. With the opening from the TV show, which is interesting for a movie because it opens with the explanation, basically, as the TV show did, the fact that David Banner has done this experiment and becomes the Hulk. And so they set that whole thing up. That starts this movie, which it just goes to show like how much people were... yearning for this to come back.
I felt like that was for the fans.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a kid, I suppose if I watched this, I would have been stoked to see the original TV opening again.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I was.
There you go. Putting on the old comfy pair of shoes. It's picking up where you left off.
Peter, now, that's a good question. Did you watch this when you were younger? Did you see this
on TV? Did I see it on TV? Of course I saw this on TV. It was The Incredible Hulk. I watched The Incredible Hulk, the regular season, every Friday for 4 years. I wept when it was canceled.
Yeah.
I begged my parents to write letters to the network to put it back on the air. Aww. So yeah, when this came on in 1988 and that initial
you know, David Bruce Banner made a terrible mistake with gamma radiation. Like, when that all comes on, I was like stoked. And then I suddenly realized there was a big difference between 8-year-old me and 14-year-old me in 1958, that somehow my taste had grown and shifted.
Yeah. Yeah. You weren't the only one that was super disappointed. In fact, none of the regulars of the Incredible Hulk series knew that the show was being canceled. CBS had a new change in ownership and they just decided to cancel it. And nobody knew, not even Bill Bixby knew, that it was canceled. In fact, Lou Ferrigno says in the book about the Hulk companion book, he says, quote, "I was in Washington about to meet President Reagan when I heard the news. We were supposed to do another season, but they pulled the plug. I heard the news of the cancellation all over the radio. I called the set and they confirmed it, and I was devastated."
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oof.
He then continues, "Canceling us was a huge mistake. We were still getting good ratings." So does this get good ratings? You will have to tune in to the research corner to learn more, but we'll get there. Trust me.
I thought you were going to sit to the ratings podcast.
The ratings podcast.
Which is another podcast ratings.
Just about ratings of things that have already come and gone.
The Nielsen cast. Isn't that what it was called?
It's not about current. Isn't it? Yeah, Nielsen is the TV ratings. Yeah, there you go.
Look at me. Couldn't think of the word trilogy earlier, but remember Nielsen.
You remember Nielsen. Look at you.
Wow.
So once we do open and get through the TV opening, we find a happy David Bruce Banner who is living with his girlfriend, played by Lee Purcell from Valley Girl. And he is almost 2 years from going Hulk, though he's still experiencing nightmares. Mm. He says it's his girlfriend who keeps him from letting Mr. Hyde out, but I think it's the Malibu Beach House.
Yeah, it's the Malibu Beach House. Yeah,
for sure.
Uh-huh.
For sure. He's never leveled up any higher than he has in this version of the Incredible Hulk. And he's like, oh yeah, I can chill here for a little while. I'm good. You got plenty of coffee. You got plenty of coffee cups, which is important. Right. So things are going well in my world. And he does, through this movie, drink a lot of coffee. So that is his jam.
It's admirable. His coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He may be terrified of becoming the Hulk, but he is certainly putting his nerves on edge with the amount of coffee that he's drinking.
Day or night, he's got a cup going.
He's not terrified of having to poop at work, though, clearly.
Why would he be? Why would he be? He has a special contract with this company. They don't ask any questions about him. Poop wherever you want. Just make us our machine.
Do you think he ever walked out of the bathroom and he's like, "Hey, guy, whoa, that was a Hulk poop. You guys might want to just hold off for a minute.
Don't worry about it.
What do you mean by Hulk? Never mind. Just trust me. Don't go in there.
I'm just saying when I was pooping, I got very angry. Let's just say that.
You're not going to like me when I've had dairy.
Just not only does it smell pretty bad in there, but there is also a toilet that is totally broken. And there is water going everywhere. The pipes are busted.
Dr. Bannon, we don't need your social security number or the details of your poops. Do what you like. Just build our machine.
That's a funny thing to me, and this must be something I don't recall, because Mark and I, too, loved the show when it was first airing. But why does he keep a pseudonym that's so close to his actual name? Mm-hmm. Dr. Banyan? Like,
yeah.
Right. You could pick any name.
I know. It's like Dr. Bannerfield.
Yeah, wait, like, what? Why is it so close?
It felt like he panicked.
Why is it like, I'm Dr. Banyor? Like, that doesn't, it's not that different. You can pick any name.
Ryan, maybe he trained at UCB. They don't change their names for any of their characters there. They just use the name that's closest. They remember it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he wants to remember his lie. That's actually a good point. You do want to remember your lie. Once you've said it, you can't be like, oof. All right. And then you come back the next day and like go, what was my pseudonym? What did I tell everyone what my name was?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think about it in advance. Anyway, he is working on that beautiful machine. a transponder. Not exactly
a gamma
sure
transponder.
How this works. But apparently it requires, this transponder requires you to stare at it in full until the commercial comes. If you stare at it long enough, it will start to work, but you will be interrupted by a commercial break. But here is the head of the laboratory explaining, apparently, what this transponder does.
Why is the transponder so big, Mr. Lambert? So important. Well, it's Zach. It's in all the press packages, Dan, and you know it. The transponder will create a nearly unlimited energy source by accelerating the decay of gamma-radiated material. Now, I'd say that was a big and important advance in the field of scientific endeavor. Wouldn't you, Dan?
Oh, Dan, you piece of shit.
Dan.
Motherfucker.
You fucking eating shit now, Dan. Now,
Stan went into the bathroom and was like, you're so stupid, Dan. You're so stupid. Like, so stupid questions.
And then it hit him and he was like, oh my God. Oh, oh my God.
Who took a shit in here? My eyes are watering.
Did somebody have hot milk? I don't understand. Why does it smell like hot milk but also cinnamon? I don't understand. It's gross, but it also smells delicious.
Oh. Also, I know gamma radiation in Marvel terms, Peter, back me up here, is different than in our world, right? But how
sure,
much stuff
it doesn't kill you. It doesn't give you cancer.
But how much stuff in this world has been exposed to gamma radiation that they are going to use this to then create power from it by eliminating the gamma radiation? I mean, it is
the one of the most, like, it's one of the, I would say, one of the most effective, like, science babble things I've ever heard, because I found myself at first nodding along with what this guy was saying, like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. If you did, you know, degenerate, you know, enough gamma radiation, be an unlimited. And I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about, Peter? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Basically, it feels like, thinking about it, the more that you're degenerating gamma radiation, it feels like it's putting more radiation into the world.
Yeah.
And weirdly, it's literally a machine that only could be used to be aimed at the Hulk, because literally you just don't have that much ambient gamma radiation around. And mm-hmm. if I was those guys who had him build that machine, I'd be like, why'd you build a seat?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, to be fair, he did build it like, and excuse me, this is a line from the movie. I'm not saying this. I'm just repeating a line from the movie. He built it like a Chinese puzzle box.
Yeah.
So that no one would know that when this machine is fully activated, it would cure him of being the Hulk, and also had a chair hidden within it like a Chinese puzzle box.
Yeah, it's like if anything is exposed to gamma radiation, it needs to fit into this seat, because it's this little circular beam that's going to sit on this nice lounge seat, nice curved seat for someone to sit in. It's clearly set up for someone to sit there, but they're like, oh, all these rocks have gamma radiation. Well, they have to fit on this seat. We can't aim it at something.
But also, when he sits on the seat, it looks like he's sitting in like a, he looks like a child sitting in a throne. He looks miniature. When he sits on it, like, his feet dangle. He's like, this chair is huge. Like, why did he make it so big if it was for him?
Well, because he might have turned into the Hulk.
Yeah.
He's going to turn into the Hulk. Because he has a, I always just assumed, like, even as a kid watching this terrible movie, that, like, because I think this is one of the things that drives me the, there's a lot of things that drives me crazy about this movie, but I think one of the things that drives me the most crazy is they kind of promise us we're going to make an attempt, a real attempt to cure him of being the Hulk, right? And that's why he's sitting on that huge seat. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, I hadn't watched this movie so long, I forgot. And I was like, oh, is he going to turn into the Hulk? It's all going to go wrong, but that's why the seat is so big, so that fits Lou Ferrigno. And then, of course, it doesn't happen at all.
He never gets to do it. He never like, does
never
it.
Even gets nope. to try. And
doesn't even try. Well, he actually stops himself from trying. I'm sure you want to talk about it later, but I was literally like, when he was like, ah, I guess that was my last chance. And I'm like, yeah. wait.
Oh,
you
no.
You built the machine. This yeah. isn't your last chance.
You could
fucking
this
do this.
Right now.
How to do it.
With this thing you built.
You don't think this company's not going to want to do this again?
They've given you an absolute, like you were saying, Peter, they've given you carte blanche to do whatever the hell you want. Why are they suddenly going to stop doing that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, one of the other employees goes, whoa, must be cool to be a complete stranger like you. It's like, wild. I mean, I agree with that employee who, like, if I was working with someone and they were just like, hey, do you know this guy, Dave Vanney? He doesn't have a social security number. Nobody knows where he lives. He doesn't talk about his life at all. Most importantly, he doesn't have a social security number. I guess he just gets paid in cash.
He
just does whatever he wants.
The prettiest girl in the lab. Right. Yeah. Honestly, probably the only girl in the lab from as far as we can see.
Yeah, I would be
He's
like
always
yeah,
walking around with two coffee cups. Just
my God,
dude eats four lunch bags.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
We never see it, but I imagine when he's in the lab, once he finishes one cup, he just tosses it onto the ground and just drinks the other one. So some poor asshole has to clean that up.
No, he degrades all the gamma radiation in it first.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, you're right. That qualifies him to have 24-hour access to the lab, where no one ever questions why he's there. Why are you there at 2 a.m? Doesn't matter. He's good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there because he's there. Is a train?
Someone's train is here.
Whose train is coming,
guys? This Kapshka to get back in her letterbox is insane. Not only do I have to pick all the pictures that look like a train, I have to choose all the sounds that sound like a train.
You then have to go and ride a train.
It's the only way you get back in. It's very,
holy
very complicated.
Moly. Jeez.
So David decides to use this transponder on himself alone, which, you know, it's kind of how we got into this whole bit, this trouble in the first place. So it's sort of stupid to do. Also, because his girlfriend works at the lab. But anyway, it doesn't matter because the biggest issue at this lab is actually its security. Because there's Donald Blake stopping the experiment, having climbed up into the laboratory.
Yeah.
He has scaled the building. Mm-hmm. Probably yep. the most badass thing that Donald Blake does this whole movie is that he just,
easily.
Yeah.
That and he knows where a biker bar is. I mean, he's got a real sordid past,
yeah,
if you ask
for
me.
For sure. And then he gets in there, stops the experiment. Blake, by the way, Donald Blake is played by Steve Levitt, who had appeared in Airplane 2, the 1986 Concorde comedy Last Resort, and the 1987 Hulk-like plotted movie Hunk.
Oh, you're not going to like me when I'm horny.
Very true. Steve Levitt plays a guy who turns into a much more handsome and hunkier version, played by a totally different actor. It's literally how that movie goes.
Oh, well, that's soul crushing. Hey, you're cast for the ugly version of yourself. Okay.
But Donald goes into a story about how he finds the hammer of Thor. Peter, I'm going to look to you. How accurate is this to the comic book version?
I guess the origin story is about like 10% correct, but like the comic book version of Thor is like way more bonkers than this is. Like, yes, Donald Blake, he goes, you know, to, you know, the Baltic countries, you know, because, you know, he has Viking heritage. But like in the comic books, rock men from Mars show up and he has to run into a cave and he finds Thor's hammer. Weirdly, this one makes more sense where he's just on an expedition. Although
right.
I love an expedition with weird exposition where he's just like, you know me, I've always just been real focused on Vikings and my Viking heritage. It's like one of those things where, like, even if I did know that about somebody, I would still stop them and be like, why are you talking like this? Why? Just tell me about your fucking trip. Like, and I think that's one of the things too about this is like, this feels like it should be an origin that could have been told in like a minute. And this just, there's a lot of this movie where it's just like, no, you know what we need? We just need more shots of people climbing, not talking. And then we'll have exposition explaining the things that we're actually watching them do, which is, so then I ran into a cave and we watch him run into a cave. And I found a crypt. And guess what? There's a crypt there. Well, then, this is all like, literally, I don't need the voiceover. I can just watch him do the stuff.
Yeah. Right, right.
Also, I don't believe for a minute that that guy went on a Nordic expedition into a mountain.
Alone.
Like, alone.
No, alone. He said he went with a whole bunch of other people.
But
he separated, which I feel was more a Yellow Jacket situation where they got lost. He ate them and then feeling terrible. He brought himself into a cave to like.
He needed to go to a cave to take one of those Hulk shits. Right. Exactly. I hate so many people. I am stuck.
You know, and then he reads.
Oh, that one smells like Carl. Oh, man.
It's so crazy to me that you're going to like spend that much time explaining a bunch of things I'm watching you do, but then just like kind of gloss over, like, so there were these runes there. And I could just read them. Anyway, so I read them. And it's like, wait, slow.
Yeah. Like,
wait,
slow.
Hold on.
Slow like, the you could fuck read it? Down. Yeah. Tell me more about that and less about how you liked Vikings as a kid. I don't give a shit about that. but yeah, he reads the runes. He opens the thing. He opens the sarcophagus and finds a skeleton in there and a hammer. And he screams, Odin! And boy, and then magic happens. But maybe you should be talking about that part, right?
No, go ahead.
Thor appears by holding the hammer and saying, not Thor, not save me. You're literally saying the name of Thor's father, Odin, to get his son to appear.
I love it. What they do is they yell Odin, and then they take the camera and they just go, they just jiggle it up and down.
Yeah, and the weird thing was in the comic books, all he had to do was like take a stick and hit it on the ground and it would turn into the hammer. And in this, I'm literally like, why can't they just do that? Where he just like, I suddenly felt this need to like smash the hammer down on the ground. And the next thing I know, Thor was upon me. But it's like, I think it's because of Masters of the Universe that they're like, you know what the kids like? They like He-Man. You know what He-Man does? He goes by the power of Grayskull. So we need like a power of Grayskull moment. And they're like, but it'd be weird if he said Thor, right? So let's have him say Odin. That we explain even less.
When he pulls out the hammer, this, you know, mystical element, I'm like,
Uru? Yes.
That's a 3-pound drilling hammer. That's all that is.
Oh, Semanticus.
So you found...
did you crunch Nordic hammers?
No, I have one of those hammers. And so I was like... That's just a 3-pound drilling hammer. I have one. I mean, you don't have to go into a cave and dig it out from a crypt. You can just go to Home Depot and pick up one if you really, really need it. That's they are very
pretty cool. Have you ever held on to it and screamed one of your friend's dad's name to see if maybe he might show up? I mean, have you tried it?
That's Roger. What I'll be doing this weekend.
Cliff!
So, Peter, you've illustrated the fact that we have Donald Blake, but also he calls Odin's name and Thor appears, and we have both. And the reason for this, we got a good explanation from Stan Lee himself to the Ventura County Star in 1988. He said, quote, "The trouble when people try to bring comic book characters to television or the movies is they try to do it exactly as the original. When we brought the Hulk to television, we changed it. In the comics, he could talk a little. On TV, he doesn't talk at all." No one told Lou Ferrigno as he went to do five plays. Like, I'm going to talk next time. I better really get my thespian skills up. Like, no, you're still going to be the Hulk.
What if one of them was like Little Women or something?
Oh, God. That would be amazing. It'd be amazing.
I'll be playing Joe.
In the comics, Thor is a doctor who can change into the God of Thunder. We can put a thought balloon over his head, but in the movies, he's two separate characters. That way, they can talk to each other and move the story along. And that's why they're two different people.
That's why it feels like it's two different movies, probably, too.
And if that isn't enough... And if that isn't enough explanation, we also have this explanation.
I have to understand something before I can believe it, Doug.
Okay. Okay, the closest thing I can come to an explanation would be what's popularly known as channeling.
The spirits of the dead existing again through the living.
Right. So this hammer is like a switch that turns the channel on, and then bang, there he is. But he's not a ghost or a spirit. He's real. He's as real as this counter, only bigger, and ready to do whatever I ask, as long as it's legal. Can you imagine having a power like this? But in order to use it, it has to be focused on something like a good cause. This is the 80s. I don't know what a good cause is anymore, but he does.
Ooh, take that, 80s.
My favorite line in that is that it's as real as this counter. That is just, he's in a laboratory. There is a million objects around you could use as a reference. Anyway, David is still not convinced that, so Donald has to actually summon Thor to the lab by yelling his dad's name. And once Thor is there, of course, he antagonizes David and then he knocks him into an electrical panel. So you know what that means. Cue the contacts. By the way, Thor is played by Eric Allen Kramer, who would go on to play Little John and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes, he did.
Played a Russian bodyguard in True Romance, but he's mainly known for his work in Disney sitcoms like Good Luck Charlie. Kramer has said that Thor was his first audition upon arriving in Los Angeles, which is upsetting. That he just showed up to LA and then he got Thor and it was like, sweet. He just was on his way. I was like, damn it.
This is easy.
People that do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, or you could put in decades of time and have nothing really to show for it. Or you can just waltz into town and immediately get a role in a TV movie of a series that was highly regarded, you know, either way. We do, however, get a huge battle with Thor and Hulk, in which Eric Allen Kramer said, quote, they actually let me do some of my own moves during the Hulk-Thor fight.
Well, yeah, because you were new to LA, dummy. This was your first role, so they were like, we don't have to pay him stunt pay or hazard pay. He doesn't know this is his first job.
But also, I would wonder, what move of Kramer's did they keep? Was it punching Hulk in the stomach with the hammer or throwing the hammer at Hulk? Because those are the two moves that he does in that fight. There is no other moves.
I'm going to say that's throw it. Hammer.
We'll never know. It's a mystery. So, I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched any of the Thor movies, nor have I read any of the comic books, but I have to ask.
But you're curious anyway. What does that say, Mark? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to start watching them.
No, it's definitely not. But how the fuck is he just speaking English? I mean, he should be speaking German or Norwegian or some Latin derivative, but he's just speaking English?
Well, in Thor is actually, as you said, he is a Norse god. He is worshipped by people of Scandinavia. But he's technically, especially in the movies even, and also the comics, he is from Asgard. So where they come from, they all speak English. I'm already regretting that Asgard, I asked this question. They don't.
Go ahead. Peter... It's basically a suburb of Chicago, Asgard. It is literally between Des Plaines and Naperville. They speak English, right, but they kind of do it in their own way.
Okay.
But all right. It's not one of the
those
hoidiest
fucking
of the
Asgardians. Asgardians. They're all a bunch of assholes. Asgardians, more like it. They're fucking manicured lawns. Fucking gorgeous children. They're gorgeous locks.
They all got horned helmets. All those horned helmets.
Hey, Black Baldur the Brave, let's go down and do some jabs together there, all right? Let's get that rainbow bridge going so we can go to some other worlds.
Him and all, get your head out of your ass.
So they spend all this time explaining how he found all this exposition around finding the hammer.
Sure.
But they spend zero time on any fish out of water moments. Thor is fully acclimated into this world.
Yeah.
No, Mark. He has to take him down to the biker bar.
But
and he has to drink beer and chat with women. I mean, that is something he requests.
I would think the opening when he gets in the fight with the Hulk, simply electricity would have taken him off of his game. And had him be like, what the fuck is that about? That's painful and dangerous.
Wait. Mark, he literally has a hammer full of electricity. He knows electricity. I don't.
Yeah, Mark.
You know,
okay.
I hate to be putting network pressure on your little argument there. But yeah. You know what? This whole movie shows electricity.
How about the countertop that he was that was being pointed out, like, Formica?
It's as real as he is, so he believes in it.
He's never seen Formica before. What is this bizarre, cheap-looking plastic? Tell me more.
I'm surprised that's your complaint, and not the fact that we don't even get to the reporter that's searching for Hulk, Jack McGee, who's from the series, for like 40 minutes. Like, he's not in the... And he finally shows up so late in the game.
And when he shows up, I got irritated. I know. Yes. I know we're not to things we hated, but I fucking hated him.
It is.
I hated his appearance. I was like, why now?
Because he's part of the series, but there was no. It's so late to show up. It's so late.
Yesterday's news.
he's way too proud of that. He's nothing news. He hasn't sold an article in over 10 years.
In years, literally. He's had 2 years where he's had nothing to write about because he's had no leads on his Hulk story. He's had nothing going on for 2 years. And we're like, well, hey, I don't know. There, can you cover anything?
Will you please go down to cover the boat show downtown? Right? He's like, absolutely not. I write about one thing and it's Hulk. Like, please, the boat show's in town. Everyone loves it. He's like, nope.
Hulk, that's it. You've written nothing for 2 years. We can't keep you on staff. This is ridiculous.
Man, just go write one story about an outboard motor. He's like, never. No.
He's going to show up. He's going to show up.
I'll be penciling down my thoughts in an outboard motor, and Hulk will slip right past me.
I think it's cute that you think that he's still on staff. That guy's just a freelance writer at this point. He's just hoping to sell that article.
And how is he able to rent such a wonderful vehicle?
I would like to point out that is they did address that in the movie because it made me laugh out loud. Because he literally is on the phone with a guy going like, hey, guess what? It's the Hulk. He's back. I'm doing this story and I want my expense account back. And then the very next scene, this whoever was on the other end of that phone was like, well, guess we better give him the expense account. Like, if we're going to do this, we're doing it whole hog. You know what?
I am tantalized by a 6-year story that has never surfaced. Give him his money. Give him whatever he needs. This story is going to be a real doozy once it shows up on my desk. I can't wait.
Fuck it. Give him my car. Tosses his car keys.
He's in LA. Just drive it out there. Give him anything you need.
Wait, he's in Malibu? Oh, no. No, I'm not driving out there. No, that's going to take forever.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? At this hour? I'm not doing that.
It's 3:30. No. I can't leave now.
Yeah. The 10 is going to be a mess. I'm not going out there. Not only are we finally getting Jack McGee, also who shows up at 40 minutes in is Tim Thomerson.
The wave that never ends. Carla, this is Benjen!
Bitchin, who is playing the sweatiest game of racquetball that I have ever seen.
Seriously. That is, their air conditioning was on the fritz that day because they are dripping.
They're not even done with the game yet.
No.
Thomerson would also, he's also appearing in New World's The Wrong Guys that was in theaters right around the time that this debuted on TV. So he's double dipping for New World. But he's also playing a bad guy here who has a killer serve and a hunger for that transponder.
My organization kidnapped the transponder and this David Banyan also within the week for 1/3 percentage of the final sale price. Or ransom. Whichever comes first. Got a deal, Mr. Lambert? Fine. All settled. It's 17 serves 9. Ready?
I'm gonna win this point, damn it.
That's the spirit, Lambert. That's the spirit. You can't win the game unless you'd rather die than lose it.
I kept the end in there just because it was like, how invested do you think we all are on this game of racquetball? That end part of it is so unnecessary. Anyway,
also,
I'm sorry, Mark.
17 serving 9? That's 26 rounds of racquetball that they have played. What the fuck are they going up to?
They go to 21, but
21. He's close to winning.
He's close to winning, and it would be more than that many rounds because you only score points on your serve.
On your serve, yeah.
Jesus. That seems... I'm glad I'm learning about racquetball, but that still seems like an inordinate amount of racquetball.
It's a lot
of racquetball. And also, they want him to seem like... they want the other guy to seem like he's terrible at it, but he's got 9 points, which means he's served for 9 points, which is not terrible.
Not terrible. But
not as good as...
I know we're not at final questions, but... Did Lampert win the game?
I don't think so. Well, he's at 17. Tim Thomerson's at 17. He's going to win. He's 4 points away.
Could have been an ultimate comeback. Now, that's something I would have... if they had covered the rest of the game, I would have been like, this movie is maybe going on my top 5 if we had just covered that game for the next 45 minutes.
Considering they don't fade out when he's like 17-9 serving, and they don't fade out there, they just go, yeah, I'm going to get this point, which I feel like we're ad-libbing, right? Like, they're just making that, they're just like throwing in new lines, right? Like,
he's also not going to get that point because he's not serving.
Right. He's
so Mark, I'm not going to, this is the trilogy time. I've warned you about this. This is not the semantic cast. Save it.
That's not semantics. Save it. That's rules to a game.
That's the racquetball cast. The racquet cast.
I can't even say it.
It's racquet cast. I can't even say it. With a Q. Racquet cast.
Racquet cast. Now, Thomerson reveals in the whole companion book that frequent Jonathan Demme actor Charles Napier, who plays Mike Fouché, his second in command, told Thomerson they should play the characters as Cajuns, but Thomerson could not do the accent, so he did it, as he said, in Southern accent. But I don't detect any Southern accent in that. Do you guys?
No.
Zero.
In fact, let's just take a second to listen to both Tim Thomerson and Charles Napier talk in this exchange.
If there was someone else I could find at this short notice, and I'd do it, Mike. Then I'd get rid of you. Personally. With pleasure.
You got no cause to speak to me like that, Jack. Else mean to do what you say. It don't be fair.
It don't be fair. You stupid Cajun idiot.
Hey, you just as Cajun as me, man.
This is not blood we're talking about, Mike.
You stupid Cajun.
You're just as Cajun as me, man. I mean, I don't hear a Cajun person, and no. I don't hear a Southern person.
No offense to them, but I'm sorry.
But I just want to point out, I do love when he calls him a stupid Cajun. Suddenly, it's almost like he's reminding him that, hey, we're supposed to be Cajun. Because that's when the other actor really starts leaning into his Southern accent. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, right.
Oh, shit, we're Cajuns. Yeah, yep.
Yep.
Back to the plot. Donald helps David rebuild the lab because, as Peter pointed out, he not only can, I guess, read all these ancient scripts, he also can rebuild a computer laboratory. He can do anything.
He's got a grappling gun. Why does he need Thor?
I don't know. David then brings up that maybe it's not Thor that's the problem, but Donald who may be the problem instead. So Donald decides, I'm going to summon Thor again. Mm-hmm. And Thor then talks to him and gets a little bit of Donald's sympathy and this passionate speech about what it's like to be Thor.
Alone, as if in some terrible dream. And then, Blake, to hear the call. It's like a war horn in battle. And then, to awaken, as you were, when men and women ate life with shining teeth. None of them are left now. But I am what I always will be. And I need to drink, eat, laugh with a woman, fight with a man. Just a taste, Blake, and then you can ask questions until Odin's missing eye returns.
Oh. Oh, man. That is some dramatic stuff that I guess they thought we were into at this point. They're like, you're in for this, right?
You're locked in.
The nice thing is, it's a nice speech that really humanizes Thor, because often, growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, we often said to each other, let's eat life with shining teeth. Let's.
Like they do in certain suburbs of Chicago. Certain ones.
I mean, in certain suburbs of Chicago, we laugh with women. We fight with men. It's just how we live. It's called Naperville.
This isn't Oak Park, guys. They don't eat with shining teeth out there, I'll tell you that.
They suck it up on a soup spoon like a bunch of fucking pansies.
You can't even get a bunch of fucking stupid Cajuns. You can't even get a good bag out there. They don't even sell a good bag out there. I'm telling you. You want to get an Italian beef? Don't go to Oak Park. I'll tell you that. And so what do? We go in some bonding time. We get a montage of them at a bar where Thor ultimately reveals the Asgardian power of summoning a cab. That's how that closes that out. Back at the lab, Mike Fouché is our Cajun friend. Is trying to kidnap David, but you can't kidnap the Hulk because David turns into Hulk, and then Hulk runs off. And where does he go? The beach. Because even the Hulk loves Malibu.
Oh, the call of the sea.
The call of the sea. Can't help himself. He's like, even Hulk is like, don't leave this lady. This is the best situation you've ever had.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This house.
He's also a swell was coming in. And he's like, I got to get out there. I got to grab my board, get out there.
Yeah.
Also, the Grunion are running, so I've got my bucket. go get some Grunion.
I mean, you know the Hulk is in on that every year. Come on. He does.
Yeah.
Every full moon,
he's like, shit, guys, I got to go catch that Grunion. It's almost midnight. Yeah.
He doesn't miss. He's always underneath. He's in David. He's trying to be like, come on, let me out. Let me out. I got to get that grunion. Guess who else loves the beach? Tim Thomerson's men. Mm. They fly in a helicopter. They knock out David's girlfriend with a dart, mm-hmm. ruining her yellow and white striped sweater. An incredible.
Those motherfuckers. That thing is dry clean only. They owe her. They owe her. You can't just put that shit in the wash.
No. Mm. And in the process, somehow, they almost take down the Hulk with one of these darts.
Yeah. Can I get one of those darts? I'm just saying, for a restless night, you know?
Can you hit me with a dart? I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
I'm tired, but I can't sleep. Dart me.
I need one of those guns for home, just when you're like, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I just shoot you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Get you in the neck. And then you can just knock out. Thor shows up, and they both of them grab onto a helicopter, the Hulk and Thor, mm-hmm. so you know what happens next.
Mm-hmm. The helicopter.
That's right, the helicopter flies off.
Yep.
They fall to the ground, the helicopter flies away.
And the Hulk screams into the sky.
Yeah.
Both Thor and the Hulk can't either hold down a helicopter or hang onto one.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is that it's lucky the Hulk wasn't too high up when he fell, because we all know what happens mm-hmm. in a couple movies from now, and Death of the Incredible Hulk, when he drops from a great distance.
Yeah,
that's
foreshadowing.
That's the death knell of
the Hulk. But what is that distance? Because earlier in this movie, he jumps from a 10-story building and lands on his feet totally fine. Mm-hmm. So...
No, I think he's fine on the landing on the beach, but he falls off to the side because he's nervous about what might be underneath, because he knows he's going to have to, the next full moon, he's going to have to get some of these grunion. Maybe he wants to, maybe he wants to get his bucket out and just scoop and see if there's any sand crabs. Like, there's lots of things for Hulk to do at the beach.
Right. Right.
He's got to protect his friends.
For sure. He was also working on a sandcastle earlier that day, and he didn't want to land on that. He'd worked a long time on that sandcastle.
I mean, a lot. A lot of detail went into that.
It looked just like Camelot. Just like Camelot.
You're not going to like me when I'm sandy.
Oh, man.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show, and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice, and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.
It's time for Things We Loved and Things We Hated.
That's right. It's time for Things We Love and Things We Hated about The Incredible Hulk Returns. Mark, what did you love?
I loved when David Bannon inexplicably decides to burn the circuit board to the gamma ray. So he takes the circuit board out and he pops it into the microwave, which this is a metal circuit board. Besides, mm-hmm. like, that should have just destroyed the microwave. Instead, mm-hmm. when they show what damage is being done to the circuit board, it's essentially an ice cream sandwich that's been decorated with circuit board stuff on top, and it's just melting in the microwave. And I was like, that's either a bar of soap or a sandwich bar that's melting in the microwave. It was amazing.
So good. Peter, what did you love?
I mean, really, I won't lie. There's something to be said about how drawn out some of this dialogue is. Usually I would hate it. And yet somehow with these actors, I absolutely love mm-hmm. it. When that dude is like, listen, we will take 3% of the 1% of the purchase price
of the gamma ray
of the transponder, or you know, the ransom, whichever comes first. It feels like, and the fact that they repeated it again later in the movie, they're like, "We want a third of 1% of the transponder." I'm like, first off, someone give me the number
the when transponder this transponder is. So is they're worth. Like, this is our cash cow. This thing right here,
right? But I also am just like, what is this ransom that everybody says too much? Because I literally feel like watching this movie, they're like, they got it done and said, we've got it. We got 45 minutes. It's a tight hour. And then like CBS was like, we need it to be an hour and a half. And they're like, oh, shit. What can we do? So we literally have, you know, David Bannon just being like, you know, I had a monster inside of me. But since meeting you, that monster's been sustained, controlled even. Some would say has left completely. Others might say that I found a, you know, a solace in your arms. But others might, like, yeah, it just goes on yeah. and on and on so forever. So I'll just say the same stuff. And like I say, usually I would hate it. And yet somehow in the smooth tones of one Bill Bixby, a pretty good television actor from the 70s, and whoever was the guy who played Donald Blake, a real C-minus actor from the 80s, it all works for me.
Erica, what did you love?
I loved it. I loved this movie. I thought it was fun. I was glad it was back. I love May. So I think mad. It's a joyous time of year. Oh. It had not one but two superheroes in it. So Hulk returned, and we just unnecessarily had Thor return. We find mm-hmm. that David has friends, students who became friends. He's got a lady in his life. I mean, what's not to love? Honestly.
There's so much to not love. So much.
Well, we're not at things we hated yet, because I loved when Charles Napier / Mike Boucher is driving his car. This is at the end fight. He's driving his car to take Thor out, and Thor throws his hammer and hits the car, but it barrels into garbage and stuff from the warehouse anyway. So likely it was never going to run Thor down anyway. And so ultimately, what was even the point of... He thought, I got to clear... You don't have a clear path to getting Thor. There's a lot of moments like that in this movie that are great. I didn't love this as much as Trial of the Incredible Hulk or maybe Death of the Incredible Hulk. I think it gets better as you go through these Incredible Hulk movies. But man, there's some fun moments in this, mm-hmm. and that was one. Let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what's something you hated?
There
if
is.
You can
no...
even think of one.
There's I could cover a lot here, and I have a few written down, but I'll stick with this one.
Okay.
There's no logical reason why you need to fly a helicopter over someone's house to shoot them with darts. Okay. First of all, that is a horrible.
You need that dart to be precise-ish.
Which means you don't want to be on a moving helicopter, for one.
No, I mean, you want ish. The ish is really a big...
For two, you would hear a helicopter coming from miles away and be able to prepare yourself. This is not... Helicopters don't sneak up on you. So that's a terrible method. Three, how are you shooting these darts? You can't shoot them in a gun. Because a dart isn't going to go into a shell, and it isn't going to have gunpowder on it. You've got to shoot with an air gun. And an air gun has a max range of 200, 250 feet. So by the time you shot from the helicopter, if it got to you, it wouldn't have enough momentum to pierce your skin. It would just sort of bing and just fall off of you.
But I don't need a big dose to go out. I feel like I need a very tiny dose and I'll go straight down.
Just walk up to the house and shoot them. You don't need a helicopter for this. It's unnecessary.
So then why do we even have a company helicopter, Mark, if we can't use it?
It wasn't even a company helicopter. It was the sheriff's helicopter. How they commandeered that?
A local helicopter.
Mark, based on I'm so sorry, but Mark, based on this rant, I can see why they didn't want network pressure. This is awful what you're saying. This is awful.
Thank you. I feel validated.
Phil, no, just that I feel like if I was the writer of this episode and I had some network stooge come in and be like, you don't need a helicopter to shoot a tranquilizer gun, I would have been like, fuck this guy. I wrote it. How cool was it that they were dressed as sheriff's officers and got a sheriff's
officer? Okay.
And Mark, Mark, what happened to the pageantry of kidnapping?
Sure. How are they going to cover their tracks if they don't have sheriff?
It's just the typical sheriff flying in with a helicopter and knocking somebody out on the beach and then picking them up and taking them on the helicopter, which we all have seen a million times from the beach. So that's just, it's cover their tracks.
Also, Mark, if you want to learn more about this, then you need to tune in to CBS Thursdays at 9 and watch Dart, the sheriff, John Dart, who just travels around using extraordinary means to hit people with his air dart guns. Tune in this Thursday at 8.
John Dart.
Classic show.
Setting my DVR as soon as we're done with this episode.
Peter, what did you hate?
Oh man, you know, for as much as I love the extended dialogue, I hated how long they held on some of these shots. I literally don't have a bit for this. It was just wild to what Mark was saying when the Hulk jumps off the building and it literally looks like a 4-year-old going off the high dive with his arms kind of flapping to the side, where you know that stunt guy was like, this is the first time I'm doing this, I'm real scared. And then they showed the Hulk stand up being all majestic and I'm like, great, cut. And then so they're like, nope, he's running away. And I'm like, all right, cut. Nope. 3 quarters down the block. Are we gonna cut? Nope. He's still running. And they did that throughout this movie where I like the extra dialogue. I don't like the extra people standing around, like with the reporters, and they're like, who's this David Bannon guy? And like Bill Bixby goes walking in with another cup of fucking coffee, sees him, just stares at him for like the most interminable amount of time before being like, now I'm gonna run away. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like we need to get this movie to 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect that it was going to be 90. Mm-hmm. Got to make it 90. So everyone, hang out a little longer. Let's hear 1/3 of 1% a few more times, guys. And but we're going to take all this time, but we're not going to work on our accents. That's fucking wild. It drives me insane.
Yeah. Totally Erica. Agree.
Erica, what did you hate?
I already mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I hated the introduction or reintroduction of McGee. Mm. And it was just too late. And at that point, we're letting him interview employees during the day. And then I was pissed off that his girlfriend's like, oh, there he is. There's David. How much access does this guy have? David is at best a contractor with this company. At best. He should not have access to snacks. I just feel like if he's not even presenting a social or his correct name, like what I-9 documentation was he even showing? He doesn't have any identification. We're just letting the contractor run around and then be interviewed as the face of the company.
Erica, this isn't the HR cast. We're not doing the HR cast. We record on Wednesdays.
That's true. Okay? Oh my
God. Sorry, guys, you're saying it wrong. It's the fracast.
Forecast.
Like, as Thor says, women. Forecast. Yeah, you're right. Well, that is kind of lame. And the thing about this movie, to go back to what Peter was saying, this is a movie that was written by one of the main writers of the TV show. And when they came to do a movie, he wrote a just extra padded version of the TV show. And so the thing that's frustrating about this is, like, even the villains, they're not great. Mm-hmm. You have TV episode villains. They're like, I mean, and this is a 2-hour with commercials movie. We barely know the son of the guy who owns a laboratory, who's down trying to take the money from the transponder, which somehow is lucrative, and from his dad. And then I love Tim Thomerson, but he's just like a gun for hire regular baddie.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go up against Hulk and Thor. Mm-hmm.
And watch out for John Dart. He's trailing him for
John Dart's on the case, which we didn't even realize the crossover potential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something they solve, like, in the next movie, at least, with Trial of the Incredible Hulk, when they bring in Kingpin. And they just let John Rhys-Davies, like, chew the scenery. But this one, like, just doesn't have, like, their bad guys aren't good. They throw in the reporter, like, late in the game. They're just padding out, like, a regular TV episode. And it just, it feels like it very often.
Imagine how Ferrigno chewed the scenery when he was in our town. Dear God. Oh, my God. He was so good.
Did he play the main girl, or does he do the narrator? He's the narrator, right?
He's the narrator. Of course, obviously. He's the narrator.
Come on.
All right, let's switch to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is definitely when David leaves at the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
No use. He's gone.
He's obviously, he doesn't have a car, and he's leaving, as he does in the TV series, and he's got to go hitchhike, but he's going to kick on those cowboy boots and take a long walk down the beach. He could have gone out the front door and right to the road and started hitchhiking right there. But, you know, David Banner, he's a sucker for a romantic or a sentimental exit. So he's like, nah, I'm going to take a long walk down the beach so that me and my sandy boots can go catch a car two blocks down the road.
Mm-hmm. His boots smell so bad. It smells so bad.
You can smell him. When he gets in the car, you're like, what is that?
Whoever picked him up is like, where are you at? Is that cinnamon and hot milk? I don't. Oh.
Sorry. I thought I'd cut that one off before I got in the car, but obviously I brought some in here. Crack the window,
buddy, or we're not going any farther.
I got somebody inside me who's really cuts it loose. And it's not good. It's not pretty. Peter, what was your favorite scene?
I feel awful because I feel like every time I come on the podcast, I'm like, can I do two?
Sure,
because
sure.
I do it too. It's a total tie for me. They're both real quick. The first, and probably if I had this force to pick one, it would probably be this. When the Hulk comes back to the beach house, and it's a shot of the Hulk walking up. And then they just do a quick cut to the dog looking up at him. And the dog looks so happy, yet like stupid in a way that a dog could only look stupid, right? Like, it's sweet, it's lovable, it's gorgeous, but the dog looks like a fucking moron, like just panting and looking up at the Hulk. And I found it like so endearing. And I just desperately wanted the Hulk to like just cuddle and pet that dog and turn back into Dave and be like, oh, the dog could fix everything. The other one was when they go to the biker bar. I don't know what it is about movies like this where it makes no sense to me. Like, you go to the biker bar, Thor's having a great time, Donald Blake's having a terrible time. So he sits down at a table by himself and he's drinking his beer. And then, like, a not bad woman starts talking to him. And he's like, get out of here. I'm not having a good time. I'm a grumpy guy who brought my thunder god to the bar. Now he's having a great time. Hey, pretty lady, leave me alone. It's like one of these things, like, dude, you fucking brought this guy here. You have nothing. Yes, he's having a good time, but here's a nice person sitting down next to you being like, hey, would you like to have a good time? And you're like, go fuck yourself. I'm in my feelings. Like, fuck you. It made me laugh so
hard. What does he have going on, like, that he's like, no, anyone, thank you.
Exactly. It was like something out of a Tim Robbins, I think you should leave sketch. You know?
Yeah. Just leave me alone. I came to this bar to be by myself.
Listen, I came here to prove that Thor's not so cool, and guess what? He's super cool.
Everybody loves him, and everybody hates me.
Me. Guess what? Even you, the one that's hitting on me right now, you'll hate me eventually.
Oh, God.
Only my grappling gun loves me.
Erica, your favorite scene?
That was... I also have two favorite scenes, and that was one of them. Was the, it's more of a scene, but a montage.
The montage of
him being at the bar, because it's also so long. Like, we get it. He fits so in. Long. These are his people.
We know where this is going, but they're like, hold on, there's 5 minutes more.
Yeah, they're just like, oh nope, little more. I also love when my second favorite scene was when the gamma radiation machine is like being shared with the staff, and the staff is being celebrated, and there's all these other scientists that are there that have worked on it.
Sure.
But they only keep focusing on David, who's like, no credit. Arms crossed. And I just imagine the other scientists are like, he doesn't even fucking care. We also worked here countless hours on this. Like, I haven't seen my family in weeks. Like, all these other scientists who are just like, want to be praised.
I'll take credit. Yeah. I'll take credit.
And he's like, mm-mm. Nope. No. It just made me laugh.
That is funny.
There were so many other people there that it's like, you can't remember their faces. They're never mentioned.
And the guy who owns the laboratory is like, not you. It's David or nobody.
Out of the way. We can't see David.
My favorite scene is, of course, the same as Mark's. And I love that ending because it's what Peter said earlier. There's no reason for him to leave. Again, this is the ending that every episode got. So that's what Nick Correa is writing, because he's like, well, I don't know, he just leaves again, because that's what he does. You have a perfect position. You have a female scientist you're dating who works in the lab, who could help you with this. You could fix the computer. You also have your buddy who's also here. Fix the computer, set this all up, fix yourself. Nobody at the lab you work at is going, David, do you have any explanation? No.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Fix all this. Fix yourself. You found the perfect situation.
Any number of scientists who were previously shown in the lab with to help you fix it.
Who worked on this thing with you.
No, it's a Chinese puzzle box. They'll never put it back together again.
It made me think, like, I mean, I would never have thought this as a kid. Of course, I'm listening to that beautiful, sad music and just being like, oh man, poor guy. But now I'm thinking, like, David wants this. David's like, nah, dude, I had two great years, but I got to move. I got to move on to the next situation.
David's a rolling stone. He can't be tied down. He's got to move on to the next gig. Yeah. Because
everyone's like, no, but you really, honestly, the guys who run this laboratory give you carte blanche. They will let you do whatever you want. They don't even care.
You don't understand. Like, My lady got me a robe. I can't be tied down. I don't need a robe.
I got to go.
I get out of the shower and I go from nude to dress.
I toss both my coffee cups into the ocean. Yeah. And I'm out.
There's no intermittent period.
David wants to keep moving on. This is his thing. It's not about the Hulk. It's about David wanting to keep moving from situation to situation.
For sure.
Yeah.
The Hulk actually wanted to stay.
the Hulk was his happiest he's ever been in this situation.
Yeah.
Hulk like dog. Hulk want to pet dog. We're dog.
Yeah, Hulk was so happy.
Yep.
All right, let's get into some final questions. Here are our final questions for the Incredible Hulk Returns. We watched this with our kids, and our oldest asked, shouldn't David have made his transponder more comfortable and added some pillows and whatnot?
think you might be here for a while. You don't know how long it's going to take for the gamma radiation to get
it's
neutralized.
Just a slick metal. I mean, like, make it comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good question.
Hulk's mullet. Is it too much party in the back or not enough?
I think not enough.
Not enough. It could be longer. Not enough. It could be way longer. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, because now I'm thinking there was an episode. I could be wrong. I feel like there was an episode of The Incredible Hulk where someone else got turned into the Hulk. There was like two Hulks, and the other Hulk had really, really long hair. And I was worried that this Hulk that I was watching, if his hair got too long, he might turn into an evil Hulk. And then I worried the whole time, am I really remembering this correctly?
Okay.
Just to be clear,
don't listen to me. I'm Donald Blake. I'm stupid.
I came to this bar to be alone.
I came to this podcast to have terrible opinions. Leave me alone.
We talked about Jack McGee, the reporter. As we said, he's been on the trail of the Hulk 4 years and is still no closer to getting that article done. But my question is, what is the article he did right before he went on this quest for the Hulk?
That was actually the boat show. That's why he keeps getting asked to go back to the boat show, because he covered the boat show. I mean, he got deep into the boat show. Like, he was
your boat show article was so good. We
his
got letters
expose
for months.
On pontoons was amazing. It really
nobody gets boats like you, Jack. Nobody.
I didn't even know there was a 3-tube pontoon option until I read his article. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that opened my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His pros and cons were unmatched.
Boat show pros, cons. Yeah. You can't beat it. Can't beat it. There's lots of sweater game in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But who is the ultimate victor of this sweater game? David or Donald or Dr. Margaret Shaw?
Oh, Dr. Margaret Shaw.
Dr. Margaret Shaw. Maggie. Mm-hmm. Maggie has... She's just got perfect sweater game.
She's
from
a sweater
start to finish.
Queen.
Yeah.
A sweater queen.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, it's kind of, she's
to the point that, as Erica said, like when she got shot with the dart, I was like, oof, that sweater, that's never coming out. That's never coming out. That's a shame.
No, that's a shame. It is a bummer. All right. Well, let's get into some research. This is a bit more about how this movie came about. Let's start with Bill Bixby himself. Talking about how this movie came to be, he said, quote, there were two reasons I wanted to do the movie. One is the way in which New World offered the film, which is perfect for an actor. It's not a series, but a series of movie of the week specials. So I could do my best possible work without sacrificing a lot of time. Second, New World owns Marvel Comics, which they did at the time. Their idea is to make a series of motion pictures and introduce a different superhero in each picture who could be featured in a spinoff. That's right, they were thinking that Thor was going to be its own series. This combination of ingredients was intriguing. Besides, I was interested in going back and visiting a character I hadn't played in 7 years. So that's how this got started. That's the footing that got started. This shot, November 1987 to January 1998, in Los Angeles, unlike the other two movies, which I believe both shot in Canada. Yeah. Nick Correa was not happy with how Thor came about. John Goodwin, the makeup artist, says in the Hulk Companion, he says, Nick Correa was very unhappy with Thor. We all thought Eric Kramer did a great job, but we felt he should have gotten a body cast so they could have built armor for him. Problem was, there was no money for a body cast. The crew was paid nothing, so they just threw something together. Thor's hammer looked like it came from Home Depot.
Oh.
Mark.
Hmm.
Mark. Vindication. Oh. Vindication.
Yeah. All right.
The armor was pathetic. They either couldn't get it done or didn't have the money. I could have made Thor's armor, but they kept peeling the budget on us. Nick really wanted Thor to work and the Hulk-Thor fight to be a grand battle. I could tell that he was really sad about it. He didn't really get what he wanted out of the movie. The movie does air May 22nd, 1988. And the original Mark's Miserable Marvelous May of 1998. 1988, excuse me. It goes up against two different TV movies. One being My Father, My Son on CBS. Mm. Let me tell you what that one's about.
Yeah.
This is a movie starring Carl Malden and Keith Carradine about the Zumwalt family.
Ugh, that's a skip for me. I'm already not watching that one. That's for sure.
And it is also going against Baby M.
Okay.
That's Baby M about? On ABC.
God, please be about a baby.
Baby M has Jo Beth Williams. She is battling surrogate mother Mary Beth Whitehead. So that is a mom battle.
Mom fight. I'm in. I'm in for that one.
It's called a docudrama is what they called it.
Maybe a mech out.
But the Incredible Hulk Returns. The Incredible Hulk Returns is on NBC. So guess, how do you think the ratings were for the Incredible Hulk Returns once they aired the Nielsen ratings the next week?
Nielsen's? The ratings?
What's your guess? Where do you think it placed?
It's not
third.
Third. Okay. Versus third, Mark?
I'm going to go second. I think people were clamoring for this.
Yeah, I feel like people are excited that it's back, but it's not as popular yet. So
you guys are just about right. It placed fourth.
Oh,
okay.
And the Nielsen ratings, it went
out of
fourth.
What though?
At
a thousand.
Well, and it helped get NBC to win the week over all the other networks. It was only beaten by Cheers at number three, Different World at two, and The Cosby Show at number one.
Yeah.
But it was at number four. So take that, Baby M and My Father, My Son movies that it went up against. Thor was supposed to be turned into its own series, as I said, but as the San Francisco Examiner reported in 1989, after computing all their rating and audience test findings, NBC abandoned the idea of a Thor series spinning off from that Hulk movie. Blonde Eric Kramer didn't cut it as Thor, a character that was, quote, too far out, end quote.
Mm. Not down to earth and realistic like the Hulk. not believable like the Hulk.
Right.
Now, Eric Allen Kramer has his own theory that he says in the Hulk Companion. He says, New World Pictures told me it was going to be a backdoor pilot for a Thor TV series, and they tried to sell it as one the year we did it. In the beginning, there's quite a bit of interest, but I do know that the writer's strike hurt it. There was a 6-month Writers Guild strike, and by the time it ended, interest had passed. They were looking at it as a Perfect Strangers type buddy show.
Oh.
Darn it.
Oh my God. That's why Donald Blake was dressed the way he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Larry Appleton.
Thor Appleton.
Yes.
So wait, would Thor be Balky in that? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. 100%. Yes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
And that is it. That is the end of The Incredible Hulk Returns and the end of our trilogy of Incredible Hulk movies.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Is that how it goes? I don't know.
It is. Okay. It is. It is. Mark's leaving.
Mark's done. Oh.
He has to leave. Even though we're not done with the episode. But no, it doesn't matter. He has to leave.
No, I'm
he's
gone.
Gotta take a great, I'm gone. He's got to take I'm a gone. Great long walk down the beach. Peter! Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for returning.
It was absolutely my pleasure.
Tell people where they can find you, Peter, online best. If they want to contact you. Besides Letterboxd.
Oh, man.
You through all the different captchas.
It was like, well, as always, you guys can find me on Blue Sky or on Instagram or unfortunately on a place like Facebook. That's all under Peter Flouet. Easy to find. Please check out episode 33 of the New World Pictures podcast, The Star Crystal. Still looking for more of those downloads. Until I'm in the top 10, I will not stop pitching that episode.
Get it.
And if you're in the state of North Carolina, look me up. I'm doing plenty of shows at theaters like Catch and Charlotte.
Awesome. Check out Peter doing some live comedy. you want to hear all of our episodes, including the many episodes we're going to do for Mark's Miserable Marvelous May 3, Trey Miserab, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, and you can find all of our episodes. You can find our articles. You can find t-shirts. We have many different t-shirt designs, and you can buy a t-shirt and help support the show that way. Otherwise, you can also tell a friend, give us a 5-star review. Do all those things. It helps us out and helps people find the show. Until then, we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.